Good morning to you all. I would like to say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your words this morning, and I pray this morning that you will bless your holy words. And God, I pray your holy words will encourage my heart and all our hearts this morning, because your words have life. Please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this book in my language, we have about 21 Indian languages. Some languages we say Naimia, some languages it got Nehemiah and Nehemia, and I think English Nehemiah, is it correct? Right, Nehemiah, right, Nehemiah, thank you. I learned my English actually from the pulpit all these years, I would say. Because in my country, you know, we all studied in our own languages. But I thank you. But my friends say, nowadays your English is not bad, it is good. Is that okay? Is that correct? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. So this man, God gave him a responsibility to go to Jerusalem and to rebuild the broken walls and the gates of Jerusalem. Now this man was working as a cupbearer. So I was going through a small Bible dictionary to find out what is this cupbearer. The Bible dictionary says cupbearer means an officer of high rank. It was his duty to fill the king's cup with wine and give the king personally. He must guard against poison in the king's cup. He met the king almost every day. So one day the king found this man was looking very sad. So Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 2, he says, king was asking, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. What's the reason Nehemiah was looking very sad? One of his relatives came and told him, that is Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 3, Jerusalem, God's city, is ruined. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burnt with fire. When Nehemiah heard this one, the walls are broken, gates are burnt with fire, he was very, very sad. Because Jerusalem is God's holy city. The Jewish people are God's chosen people. That is the place Jesus Christ did his ministry. That is the place, Jerusalem, Jesus Christ had chosen his disciple. That is the place Jesus Christ died on the cross. And praise God, that is the place Jesus Christ is going to come. That's the reason Jerusalem was a very important place. And when Nehemiah heard, the walls are broken, gates are burnt with fire, he was very, very, very sad. But one thing he decided, I must go and do something. I should not keep silence. So what he did, he decided to leave that place and to go and rebuild that broken walls and the gates. My dear friends, a very similar ministry God has given to us today. A very similar ministry to me, to you, to all of us. Nehemiah's time, it was his responsibility to go to Jerusalem and to rebuild. Our time, no need for us to go to Jerusalem, to stay in our place wherever we are, to rebuild the lives of the people of the community. I hope and pray you, the message is come clear. Is it okay? Yes. That's the responsibility God has given us, to rebuild the lives of the people in our community. I believe that we are living in a broken world. We live a broken relationship everywhere, broken families everywhere, divisions and disunity in the communities, divisions and disunity in the churches. Fights are going on in so many countries. In such a time like this, God wants us, each and every one of us, to rebuild our families, our societies, our community. That is the reason I strongly believe God is giving us that new building. to bring the people from the community, to bring the people back to God, the people to come and honor Him and to worship Him. I believe it is not a building to say, oh, come and see. In Basandin, we got a new building. Not for that purpose, but to share the gospel and to bring the people to His kingdom. We know King David, he had a good plan to build a temple. But God said, David, you will not build that. Your son, he will build that, he will do that job. So King Solomon, he completed the work. At the time of temple dedication, he said a very long prayer, prayer and praising God in 1 Kings chapter 6, 66 verses praising God on that dedication service. And one verse come to my mind is verse 60, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 60. This is what he said, that all the people of earth, all the people of the earth may know that you are the true Jehovah God. There is no other God. I really like that term. And I pray, my prayer is when the new church building is done, when people are coming, the community will come and say, you are the true Jehovah God. There is no other God. And we pray that will continue to happen. There's a verse in Isaiah says about rebuilding the lives of the people. Isaiah 58 verse 12. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the age-old foundations. I think this foundation is over 100 years old, if I am correct. And now please note the next line says, you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of street with dwellings. Three important words we find in that chapter, Isaiah 58 verse 12. Builder, repairer, restorer. I remember preaching a message on that line about 2 or 3 years ago, but this is a new message. We may not practically involve in that building work. We are not carrying the bricks. We are not mixing the cement. But we are the builders, repairers, restorers of the people's life. So let us be good builders of the kingdom of God. Let us be good repairers of the kingdom of God. Let us be good restorers, restoration, bringing new life to the people in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, Nehemiah took this responsibility very seriously. Likewise, we have to do this ministry very seriously, rebuilding the people's lives. It is a very serious matter. When we wake up in the morning, we must wake up with a big picture, a big vision of God. What can I do to my God for this day? We must have a large vision of our God. I read about a young man. This young man did not have any kind of motivation in his life. No vision, no motivation, no life. So this is what this young man said. I get up early morning and read obituary column. Is it the death notices? I get up early morning and read obituary column. And if my name is not there, then I go back to sleep. What kind of motivation it is? Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. In other words, where there is no vision, the people die without God. When people die without God, God will hold us responsible. Sometimes, to be frank, that verse actually frightening me. That's the reason, please pray for me, Mondays, Wednesdays and Friday I go to the shopping centers. I talk to the people. Because of this verse. This verse says, Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 17. It says, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Then verse 18 says, when I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, you do not warn him or speak out to him from his evil ways, that man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable. But there's the good news. What is the good news? That is verse 19. But if you do warn the wicked man, if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wicked ways, from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will be saved. You are on the safer side. Why? You did warn that man. Dr. Billy Graham says in one of his books, it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. God's job is to judge. My job is to share the gospel. It is God's job to judge. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convince. Now, why the gates were important in the Old Testament times? The gates were important. There are four reasons. The gates were seats of authority. Ruth chapter 4 verse 11. At the gates, wisdom was uttered. Proverbs 1:21. Judges and officers were at the gates. That is Deuteronomy 16:18. The council of state were held at the gate. 2 Chronicles 18:19. And also one of the main reasons was God's chosen people, Israelites, not to mix or mingle with other nations. And Nehemiah says that he did four things. When he heard the walls are broken, the gates are burnt with fire. This is the thing. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4. I sat down and wept. I mourned. I fasted. I prayed. He did four important things. In the Old Testament times, weeping and mourning are very common. Jeremiah was known as a weeping prophet. In the New Testament time, the believers gave very importance to fasting and prayer. Indian churches, most of the Indian churches, we have fasting prayer on a regular basis. Our Hope India mission children, they do have fasting time every week. Now, I like to read some Bible verses about in the Old Testament time. We talked about fasting and prayer. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. I turn to my God, that is Daniel 9:3. I turn to my God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and in fasting. You can see the three words, prayer, petition, fasting. Then Jonah chapter 3 verse 9, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed. It's something like in Melbourne and Sydney. Those ministers, premier, they say, Melbourne lockdown from Monday to Friday. Likewise, in Jonah's time, it is a different kind of order from the king. A fast was proclaimed. Do not let people or animals taste anything. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and turn their violence. I think we have to pray to God that God will raise up God-fearing kings, rulers, leaders, and politicians. That's what we need in this country and around the world. And again, I read somewhere Dr. Billy Graham's book. Too long you have been listening to the voice of the presidents. Too long you have been listening to the voice of the politicians. Too long you have been listening to the voice of the army commanders. But now the time has come for you to listen to the voice of the Almighty God. I would say also from this book of Jonah, the time has come for everyone to call urgently on God. The time has come for us to spend more time in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Matthew's Gospel chapter 26, 26 verse 40, Jesus asked the disciples, and Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Actually, it was a time they should spend some time in prayer. But these disciples, these men, they were sleeping. Then Jesus said to Peter, could you not watch or pray with me for 1 hour? Why should we pray? There are many reasons, but I will quickly say seven reasons. To strengthen our relationship with God, we must pray. To strengthen our relationship with God, we must pray. That you find John 15 verse 4. Abide in me. Then to ask for God's guidance, we must pray. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. To ask for God's forgiveness. Daniel 9:9. God is merciful and forgiving. To unlock faith in our lives. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God. To help us to overcome temptation, to pray in faith, James we read, a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Then perseverance in prayer, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Now does God always answer our prayers? The answer is no. I think there are three ways as we know. Yes, no, wait. And the waiting part is a very difficult one. But once I prayed myself and Jansi, God answered in a very unexpected way. Wonderful way. I will tell you this as a testimony to encourage your hearts. We were studying at the Bible College, West Australian Bible College in 1990s. I was doing my master's degree and Jansi was doing Bachelor of Theology. I was the associate pastor at the same time at Mount Hawthorn Baptist Church. We started the hostel and we came to Perth. Then one day my brother-in-law phoned me, Stanley, you have some ideas to build some orphanages. One man is selling some properties for a good, reasonable price. Can you send 10,000 Australian dollars? I told him I will pray and I will try my best. So, the next week I met one of the church deacons, a good friend of mine at Mount Hawthorn. I told him, my English those days, 30 years ago, not good. Can you go to the bank manager, find out there's a Sri Lankan man here, he's the associate pastor of this church, and we have given him a rent-free house. And we give him a very reasonable payment every week. He wants $10,000. Can you give him a loan? The bank manager said, yes, Stanley can, we can give him. But there's a catch. This man came and told me that you need, guarantors. Two guarantors. Otherwise, this man can take the money and run to India, you see. I told Jansi, we will pray, Jansi. I'm new to this country. I don't like to go and ask anyone for 10,000 guarantors. I don't want. We will just pray. If it is God's will, we will get it. That week, Jansi went to the Bible College. They knew that we have a hostel, but they did not know that we are looking for 10,000. We are planning to buy the land. They didn't know anything about it. Then one of the young lady at the Bible College told Jansi, there's a church in Bullsbrook, they are closing down the church, and they like to send, or the closing down all the accounts, they like to send to your Hope India Mission. Then they gave me a call, we posted the check. So I was eagerly waiting for the check. The letter came, I opened, there was a check for 9,000 Australian dollars. See? We were so happy. Then that deacon could not keep to himself. He went to the front of the church and told all the members, this man was asking for 10,000 loan from the bank. This man got 9,000 gift donation. My dear friends, when people pray, miracles happen. I can guarantee 100%. I can tell testimonies after testimony. I am saying this. Please be encouraged. God will answer to your prayers in God's time. There are times God answers immediately. there. God knows when to answer and God knows when not to answer. We read in the book of Daniel, he was thrown into the lion's den. And the king was asking, Daniel, are you okay? What did Daniel say? Daniel chapter 6, he says, my God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lion. Then Peter was in the jail. This is Acts chapter 12. So Peter was kept in prison. The next line says, what did the church do? But the church was earnestly praying to God. Then what happened? The chains fell off. The guards did not know. Just Peter just walked out of the jail. Elijah prayed. It rained after 3 years. Again he prayed. The rain stopped. Prayer changes the things in the hard times. I think I read those lines in the Our Daily Bread. Prayer changes the things in the hard times. You know, a pastor was talking to the Sunday school children. So he asked the children, my dear little ones, do your parents pray for you before you go to bed? They kept silence. So pastor again asked, my dear children, do your parents pray for you? Then one of the little ones said, pastor, my dad doesn't pray, but my mom prays before I go to bed. Pastor was happy, at least one of the parents praying. So the pastor asked, my dear little child, can you please tell me what kind of prayer your mom says? Does she say a long prayer or a short prayer? Now this is what the child said. Pastor, when I close my eyes to go to sleep, then my mom would loudly say, thank God she has gone to sleep. Thank God she has gone to sleep. My dear friends, our children need more prayer than that. Our families need more prayer than that. Our pastors need more prayer than that. Our churches need more prayer than that. Our missionaries need more prayer than that. We must ask to ourselves, how much time do I spend time in my personal prayer? How much time do I spend with my family prayer? How much time do I spend with my church prayer meetings? Now, and Nehemiah, when you go through that book, he talks about the enemies. They were laughing and mocking when he was rebuilding those walls. And they were planning to kill him. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 11. This is what the enemies were saying. We will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work. In Bangalore, when we bought the land, when we were building the hostel, the Hindus came and stopped. Jansi's two brothers were supervising the work. They came with knives and sticks to beat the workers. Then our work was stopped for 2 months. Then I knew one Catholic priest. I gave a call to this priest. Priest, you go and meet those Hindu leaders and please tell them we are building this building as a hostel to help your community people. We will take those little ones, we will feed them, we will send them to school. But it took long time to complete the building and we had very life-threatening situations we went through. But praise God. One thing is, I would like to encourage you all this morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Please remember one thing. When you are involved in God's work, there will be always enemies. There will be always spiritual warfare. There will be disappointments and there will be discouragements. It may be building project, it may be Sunday school ministry, youth ministry, it may be counseling, whatever it is, there will be always spiritual warfare. But the good news is, God will give us success. And as you have the annual general meeting, I pray that all our leaders, they will continue the good work God has given to them. And knowing that, Nehemiah says to chapter 2, verse 20. The God of heaven will give us success. That's my prayer for the AGM team this afternoon. Another verse is Nehemiah 6, 9. Now God, please strengthen my hands. We all become tired doing God's work. It's not easy. When I joined the church as a young pastor, that was 44 years ago. I was 25 years old. Now I am almost 70 years old. There was a big difference 40, 50 years ago. I would say those days running a church is not that much difficult. Running committee meetings is not difficult. But these days I can understand it is difficult. So I have a list of pastors, including Pastor Ian's name. I pray for them. God to give them the grace and the strength to continue the good work. Please remember, God of heaven will give us success. I'll put it in Indian way. God knows Stanley Abraham can take only 20 kilos on this shoulder. God will never ever force Stanley Abraham to carry 50 kilos. Why? God knew Stanley Abraham can carry only 20 kilos. If the ministry, if the job is extremely difficult, then what God will do is, He will send someone to help. To Moses, He sent Aaron. To Elijah, He sent Elisha. To Paul, He sent Barnabas. He sent Timothy. He sent Mark. Likewise, God has people to come and help you in the ministry when you find it difficult. In case if the ministry is not successful, that means God has another plan for you. My kind of a principle in my life is, I will say, in God's work, I will take action in 26 ways. Why 26? A to Z, 26 letters, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Like that I tell my friends, I will take, my position is always, I will take 26 ways, I will take action. It will be successful. God will give me success. This morning, you might have come to this service with worries, anxieties, physically not feeling well, feeling tired. Please remember these words. God, please give me strength to my hands, and God will give you the strength. God, please give me strength to my heart, and God will give me strength to my heart. Strength to my feet, and God will strengthen you, because God has strengthened me graciously in my life and ministry. And I'm sure He will continue to strengthen me another 10 years. I'm begging God. Did I tell you that? I'm begging God. God, I lost in my country 5,000 to 6,000 pastors, missionaries, evangelists. So every Sunday evening when you have the 6:30 meeting, please pray for me. At 6:30, I preach to the Indian people in Indian language. Please remember me in your prayers. Somehow the gospel will go to that country in their languages. In closing, God's work is a teamwork. As a family, as a team, let us build the kingdom of God. Closing with a meaningful story. You know, a father, a little family, father, mother, and three girls. One day the mother was not feeling well. So the father said to the girls, "Mommy is not well. You must help the mommy in the kitchen today. Mommy can take rest." These three girls said, "Yes, okay, we will help." Father came, the dad came from the office in the evening. He called the older one, asked, "What did you do?" And the older one said, "Dad, I washed all the dishes." "Very good. Second one, what did you do?" "With a nice dry cloth, I wiped all the dishes. Dried all the dishes." "Third one, what did you do?" "I picked up all the pieces." Yes, God's work is a teamwork. As a team, as a family, let us build the kingdom of God. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. And God, I pray that you will bless our ministries of this church. We are so happy to see the new building. And God, we pray that you will increase our faith, that you will give us new strength, new vision to continue the good ministry God has given us in this place. Please bless the afternoon annual general meeting, and also please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.